Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here on another awesome Sunday night, and we are here to read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you're all having an awesome Lord's Day. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Peter and about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And I never anticipated this was going to take three sessions, but this is the third session. But like everything else in the Word, like everything else in the Scripture, there's great lessons to be learned in every passage that you read. And you never know how long something is going to take. You know, when I teach my Torah class or when I do some other Bible studies, I always tell the people, you know, that if we're doing something that's a survey class, I say, you know, please don't tell your Jewish friends or serious Bible scholars that you're covering four chapters of a certain book in an hour and a half, because they will go crazy. But anyway, we only have about not even a half hour on this show. So we're in Acts chapter 10. So Peter has gotten done praying on the roof of the house there where he is in Joppa, and Cornelius's men have gotten to the door, and they ring the doorbell and they say, "We're looking for Peter." And they ask if he's there, and the Holy Spirit prepares Peter and says to him, "I have sent these men, so don't doubt about this, don't worry about this, just get ready to go. I have sent them." And this happens right after Peter is kind of coming out of his ecstasy, in which he sees the vision of the unclean animals. And if you recall, it even says there that he sees heaven open up and this sheet comes down holding the animals. So he knows that the source of this vision is in heaven itself, that this vision has the authority of God. And the Holy Spirit tells him, "I have sent these men. Don't worry, you have to go with them." Now, the reason this is important, and it's kind of hard when you've grown up just listening to sort of the average Christian church where you don't really get the separation that there was between Jew and Gentile. For Peter, as not only an observant Jew, because we know that, because he says, I've never eaten those things, and I'm not going to start now. And we know that he spent 3 years with Jesus, who was the greatest Jew who ever lived, as our friend Marty Goetz likes to sing. he is an observant Jew who has been taught and has had experience over his lifetime that contact with Gentiles is to be limited. They are the unclean, uncovenant people. You know, all through the Torah, God tells the people to don't do things with the Gentiles. Don't associate with them. Don't marry them. Don't do business with them. Because they will take you away from the truth. They will take you away from my domination over you. They will take you away from my kingship over you. So Peter is very reluctant when it comes to Gentiles, and he's meditating about this. And so he's got this vision of unclean animals, and he's being told now he can eat them if he wants. He doesn't have to, but he can eat them if he wants. And now he's got unclean Gentile men literally in the house where he's staying. And now they are going to take him to Cornelius's house, who, of course, is an uncircumcised Gentile. But the Holy Spirit says, "I've sent these men. You're going." You know, Jesus had told him in John's gospel, you know, during the Last Supper discourses, Jesus said, you know, when the Spirit comes, he's going to tell you what to say. He's going to tell you what's the truth. He's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you about me. So these men tell Peter that an angel told Cornelius to send for him, meaning Peter, and that Peter was supposed to tell something to Cornelius. He was supposed to preach the word to Cornelius. Now, the book of Romans hadn't been written yet, of course, but, you know, in Romans chapter 10, we hear that faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing. And, you know, hearing comes from hearing the word of God. So faith comes from hearing. That's very, very important because you never know how powerful your testimony is going to be to people. You never know how powerful your proclamation of the gospel is going to be to people because it's hearing that does it. You know, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians about the foolishness of our preaching. People are saved because of the foolishness of our preaching. You may have somebody be saved because of something you say to them at the grocery store or at the hardware store or in your backyard to your next door neighbor. Or you don't know, but Peter even lets them stay in the house for a while. You know, they stay there overnight, apparently. I mean, Gentiles in their house. I mean, this would be unheard of. But Peter is still pondering this vision that he had. So then he goes with the men, but he takes some other believers with him. He takes some other Jewish believers with him. And I think this is really cool. I think there are six he takes with him. And in the next, you know, in the next chapter of Acts, he has to justify himself to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. And he says, I wasn't the only one who went. I took six other guys with me. And of course, this was a group of men who had been evangelizing now. And now Peter had a following of people, of course. So he basically had kind of his own disciples now, like every other teacher had. So they go to Cornelius' house, and it says Cornelius is waiting for Peter and his friends. And Cornelius is there with his friends and his family in this house. He has gathered people together to wait for Peter and following up on what the angel had said to him, to wait for this word that Peter was to tell them, this word that Peter was going to preach to them. And he wanted his family to hear this, and he wanted his friends to hear this. Now, Cornelius was probably kind of, you know, shaken up and excited because an angel had come to tell him this, and that's, you know, pretty neat. But there was this excitement, here comes Peter. You know, you get the impression that Cornelius has been, like, waiting, you know, where are those guys, when are those guys going to get here? How long is it going to take them to get back here? And so when Peter comes in, Cornelius does something amazing. Now, remember, we've talked about this. Cornelius is an officer in the Roman army. He is in command of what was called the Italian Regiment, which personally protected the governor of that province. Personally protected the governor. And they renamed the land of Judah, Judea, because that was the Latin word for it. And they had some other puppet officials in place. But Cornelius was a very important officer, a very important figure in the Roman military. And for the last, almost 100 years, well, more than, I don't remember the exact year they got there. I think it was 66 BC. But so not 100 years yet. His army had been dominating the land and oppressing the people. It was a military occupation, of course, and we know that. And so this man, who is such an important part of the military operation, falls down in front of Peter. He falls down in front of Peter. Peter is one of the people that he and his army have been oppressing, that he and his army have been dominating. And now he looks at Peter as such an important figure, such an important man, such an important man that God has sent to tell Cornelius and his friends and his family a very important word. And he falls down in front of Peter. Now, again, we say, oh, isn't that nice? Well, actually, if you're an observant Jewish man, that's not nice, because you only bow down before God. You don't bow down before anybody or anything else. So Peter is upset by this and reprimands Cornelius and says, don't do that. I'm a man just like you. You know, later in the book of Revelation, we see St. John falls down in front of an angel. And an angel picks him up and says, don't do that, because I'm a creature just like you. So Peter tells Cornelius, I'm just like you. You know, and you think, not only in Peter's Judaism did he understand this, but he's probably thinking back over his own faults and his own weaknesses, the things he said and did while he ministered with Jesus, and probably thought to himself, the last thing anybody should be doing is bowing down to me. So he knows his sinfulness. And Peter goes and says to Cornelius, you know, I shouldn't really be here with all you Gentiles. I'm paraphrasing. I shouldn't really be here with all you Gentiles, but the Lord has shown me that I can't call anything common or anything unclean. He's thinking, you know, I realize now that no one is outside of salvation, that the gospel has to be preached to everyone. The gospel has to be preached to everyone. And this is quite an amazing time that Peter has had between the vision, the word from the Holy Spirit, the Gentile men coming to the door, the taking six other fellow believers with him, along with the Gentile men, back to Cornelius's house, experience Cornelius falling down in front of him. And he actually has to, you know, kind of reprimand this Roman military official. But now he realizes the gospel has to be preached to everybody because no one is unclean. No one is outside of salvation. And Cornelius tells Peter, hey, we're all waiting to hear this word you have. I mean, there was an angel here who talked to me. I mean, you should have seen this guy. You should have seen this angel. He was big and powerful, and I was afraid. I've been in battles. I've been fighting in the army since I was a young man, and I've been in command of men, and I've had to command men to do things, and I've done military operations that you can't even imagine. But when I saw this angel, I was afraid. So as I tell you about angels, angels always have to say, don't be afraid whenever they encounter a human. Cornelius was afraid when he saw the angel, despite his military background. And he says, you know, the angel told me, you're going to tell us something that's going to be really, really important. I mean, this was so important that we had to send for you and get you over here. You specifically. And so Peter starts to preach. You know, he opens his mouth and he starts to preach. So here he is in a Gentile house, the house of a military official, with a group of his family, his friends, presumably all Gentiles, presumably all Romans, who, of course, had been pagans, had followed the gods of Rome. Now, we don't know. Cornelius believed in the God of Israel, and they were Gentile people, like I mentioned before, that the Jews called God-fearers, and today they're usually referred to as righteous Gentiles. So Peter starts to preach to them. You know, Jesus had not really allowed them to do this before, because the thrust of the ministry was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he even told them, don't go to Samaria, don't go to other places. You know, Jesus specifically went through Samaria to preach to the woman at the well in John's gospel. But he told his disciples, don't go to Samaria. he told his disciples, you know, don't be going around Gentile lands or preaching to Israel. He says the word goes forth from Jerusalem, goes through Judea into Samaria, and then to the rest of the world. So here he is in the land, in Israel, preaching to a house full of Gentiles. So the division has already been broken down. Ephesians 2, 14 to 16, which is the center of my One in Messiah ministry, that Jesus in his flesh breaks down the partition between Jew and Gentile, making them one new man. Because now Peter realizes that these people are not outside of salvation. These people were not in the Mosaic covenant, but they're in the new covenant now. In this covenant of grace, these outsiders can come, worship the true God, worship Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, and they can be saved, regardless of their past experience worshiping the Roman gods. So Peter realizes God shows no partiality now. The division's been broken down, and here he is with a group of Gentiles that want to hear what he has to say. Or in other words, they want to hear the gospel. So Peter doesn't waste the time. Peter does not waste the time. So Peter tells them that Jesus came for Israel and that the word was proclaimed, that he suffered and he died and he rose on the third day. And he says, we were witnesses of this. We are witnesses of this. We don't know exactly when this interaction happens. I mean, obviously it's after Pentecost. Probably some time has gone by. There were many, 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 many people in the land who had experienced Jesus personally. People who may have been in Jerusalem that morning of Pentecost that experienced the Holy Spirit falling in the upper room. These people were still all around because there were thousands of witnesses to things that Jesus had done and said. So Peter says, we're witnesses of this. Now, Cornelius probably heard about this. He heard people talking about this. We don't know exactly what Cornelius knew. We knew he was a God-fearing man, that he prayed, that he gave alms, and that these things were acceptable to God. But the angel told Cornelius, what Peter's going to tell you is very, very important. The praying and the giving alms is not enough. There's some critical information you need to have, as we would say in today's talk. You need the powerful truth as to why it's important to pray and give alms. You have to get the powerful truth of how praying and giving alms will not save you. You should do those things, obviously, but you need to hear the message of salvation that Jesus came and died for you as a sacrifice, as a propitiation for sin, and then rose on the third day. So Peter preaches the gospel to Cornelius, his family, the whole household. And he's realizing probably as he's speaking that this now has to be done everywhere. He has to preach like this everywhere he goes to all people. Whether his audience is in Caesarea, whether his audience is in Jerusalem, whether his office is in Samaria, whether his audience is in Rome, whether his audience is in Antioch, wherever his audience is, he needs to preach like this because this is the gospel. We live in a time of false, watered-down gospels. This is the gospel. And then he tells Cornelius that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, and all the prophets that came before spoke about him. Spoke about him. You know, Jesus once said, you search the scrolls for eternal life, and that's good, but the scrolls are about me. All the scrolls are about him. Peter understands this now. His mind was open to this Pentecost morning. Cornelius may be as a God-fearer, as someone who had come to believe the God of Israel was the true God, he may have read some of these scrolls. He may have read some of the prophets. So now he's starting to realize that the prophets spoke of this. This is why the prophets came. And then Peter tells him, you know, if you believe this, there's remission of sin. So if you believe this, your sin can be dealt with. If you don't believe this and you want to do the praying and the almsgiving, you know, praying and almsgiving is good, but your sins can't be covered by that. There's only remission of sin in Jesus. They had to understand Messiah. They had to accept this because this is the new covenant. This is the completion of what the Tanakh is all about. So as these faithful Gentiles, as these God-fearing Gentiles, as these righteous Gentiles, whatever name you want to give them, came to understand what we call the Old Testament, the Tanakh, this was all leading up to what you see happening now in front of you. And while Peter is still speaking, this is really pretty neat. The Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius's house. It says, while Peter is still speaking. Let me just find it here. And what he's saying at the time is, this is verse 42, he commissioned us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God as the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name, not through the prayers, not through the almsgiving. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Whew. So while Peter is still preaching this powerful message of salvation, I mean, this is why one of the people I've admired the most in my life, especially since I became a believer 25 years or so ago now, was Billy Graham. Because everywhere Billy Graham went, he preached the same message. He preached the same message of salvation. I'm impressed Franklin Graham, every time he's on any news show, any TV interview, he preaches the gospel of salvation. So Peter's preaching the gospel of salvation. The Holy Spirit falls on the whole room, fills all the people in the room. The circumcised believers, the Jewish believers who are in the room, it says they were astounded by this because these men may have been in the upper room Pentecost morning. In fact, pretty good chance they were. We don't know that. Please don't send me emails saying, where does it say that in the scripture? They may have been, but they certainly by this time had experienced the Holy Spirit. And it said these people were astounded that the Holy Spirit would fall on the Gentiles also. And what were the Gentiles doing now? They were speaking in tongues and glorifying God. So Cornelius's group of his family and his friends were now praying in tongues and glorifying God, just like the people in the upper room had on Pentecost morning. So what was Peter's response to this? He says, well, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? They've received the Holy Spirit just like we have. And he ordered them to be baptized. So Cornelius and his household and his friends are baptized at Peter's command. Because he says, why shouldn't these people be baptized? They've experienced the Holy Spirit just like we did. Just like we did. So what an experience. So Cornelius' little home group here becomes a charismatic home group. And they're so excited, they ask Peter to stay with them for a few days. You know, I hear the music playing. Oh, I can't believe it's the end of the show. Well, anyway, we finished Cornelius. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and I hope you'll join us again next week when we will read and teach God's word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.